Eighth Circle. The poem has an epigraph from Dante's Inferno, which reads, "Their erstwhile shapes were gone without a trace, and the monstrous form that was and was not they now moved away with slow and stumbling pace." 1. The horror that they change against their will, that she who never let a hair go gray scratches at steel wool shreds, that she gums swill, her toothless mouth turned in. What shall we say, her visitors, that rust and moth consume? The television's monstrous single eye, sole light in half a semi-private room, is witness to the shifting, awkward poses we mask with sprays of supermarket bloom. We putter, we arrange our useless roses. 2. Horror again, and shame at how I wince. Past limbo, with Victorian settee, flocked wallpaper, and William Morris Prince, the heart makes its descent. On the crabbed way between the wheelchairs crowded in the hall, I meet the other shades here, these who stay, scuffing in slippered feet along a wall, eyes to the floor. Fluorescent shadow show startles one soul to half-life, and his call for help stings me, though nurses hardly slow at threads of spittle hanging from a chin, at gaunt necks, hollow cheeks shaved days ago, skin like crepe paper, wrist bones matchstick thin. How should I clutch at hope against such need? How will my mother grasp her life again? I practice a tight smile. I pick up speed. 3. Most horrible. The drifting sparks of grace. Small brightnesses that trick me into longing. The light that flares and gutters in her face when she says simply, "Sing." The wells of song, nursery, hymn tune, Rodgers and Hammerstein, rinsing the soul like snowmelt, pouring strong and clean, until some icebound edge of a line, "I don't know why I love you like I do," snags on the raveled fabric of her mind and snares it. Why? I don't know why. Do you know why? Why? And I watch her disappear, sing-songing why to fretful sleep. And so, having no guide, I leave her sleeping here.